listen up. Y'all, it's the queen of automation, Megan Donnelly, here to give you inspiration. Founders and business owners, gather round. I'ma show you how to build systems that'll astound. Streamline your processes, no need for complications.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Chronically Automated. I'm your host, Megan Donnelly.
And I'm your co-host, Anthony Labosco.
It's been a few weeks, and I want to give everyone a little bit of a housekeeping update. So we are going to record put out these episodes every other week. We are very, very busy running DMC, running on DMC, like doing all of the digital magic CRM things. And so we don't want to lose the momentum that this podcast has created. And we definitely want to continue having these conversations, but we also need to be a little bit conscious of what we're building and our time spent on building. So a little bit more focused on building while still doing podcast awesomeness. That's where we're at. So I just wanted everyone to realize that we're not going away. We are just going to do episodes every other week instead of every week. Anyway,
we're going to make you guys miss us more, appreciate us more.
Appreciate us so much more because you won't have us for a week. Yeah, that's it. So I will tell myself that when I can't sleep at night. I'll be like, oh, they miss me.
We always miss you, Megan.
Speaking of the fear is valid, we have been talking a lot about AI in our networking group and our little inner circle of trust and friends and people. And so one of the things we wanted to jump on and talk about is AI and how it's not the villain, it's the sidekick. And we want to talk about all of the reasons why you should use AI and how to use AI the right way. But what we're going to start with is digging into and validating your fear. So for all of you out there who are kind of in this scenario of, is AI going to take my job? Or maybe AI has already taken your job, or that's what you feel. And you have this fear of AI and it taking over the world. And now you're going to be obsolete, right? Like, it is valid. It is 100% valid, but a little bit misdirected in the sense that is the fear valid? Absolutely, 100%. It's here to stay. It's not going anywhere. So what do you do now? We're going to redirect your fear into a positive place of when it's actually done right, it will take tasks off your plate. It can auto-sort the chaos that's in our neurodiverse crazy brains or just any regular brain. It's going to mirror ideas back to you. It's going to help you be more creative. It's going to help you be more strategic. It's going to be your new superpower sidekick that can help you get things done faster. And I know, yeah, right. It's all too good to be true. And I can tell it's AI. Everything I put in there, it spits back. It's so generic. Well, it's all because of prompting. Okay. Prompting, you put crap in, you get crap out. It's the same thing with AI. So AI is machine learning, right? So if you give it crap to learn from, it's going to spit out crap that it's not going to give you anything good.
Garbage in, garbage out.
That's right. And one of the things that I think we want to touch on is how do we get over our fear? And how do we get over the fear of AI and start realizing that, okay, there are small things that we can do on a daily basis to help us learn AI, to help us maybe become the person in our industry or niche that people would want to talk to? How do we do that without completely letting it take over our lives? That's what I think we need to focus on today. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit it on the head, but you know, there are so many things about, we started, you and I, got into, you know, DMC probably a year ago, actually, almost, right? At least we started the conversations and we started to really move into everything. And think about like a year ago, what the world was like, what the technology landscape was like, you know, a year ago versus what it is today. And, you know, when you really think about it, when you think about what AI has absolutely done just in 1 year alone, and for me personally on my journey is, you know, I've been really 100% on my entrepreneurial journey about over a year, right? Almost. And in that time, you know, when you think that you're out there and you don't really, you know, you may not have all the support and the know-how and everything like that. When you look around and you start to realize that, look, I don't have any choice but to learn, you know, what's happening. And plus us being neurodiverse as well. How do we then amplify what we're doing? How do we then complement what we're doing? And AI has just become front and center, really by default, right? Just because it's there and you're seeing what it is. So my point to everyone is that, you know, there is a lot of fear in it. And I think there's a lot of fear for people that are, you know, currently in a, you know, a bit of a silo doing their thing and doing their, you know, work. And maybe they've been in companies for, you know, a very long time, and God bless, that's awesome. So have I. But when you're actually not in the company and you're not doing things, AI has so much to offer you and you should not be afraid of it. You know, especially now in 2020, going into 2026, it's just a way to really amplify things. And I think that's one of the things that we're going to talk about today. And this woman over here, Megan, is like the ultimate in translator in terms of speaking with AI, speaking to AI, and really knowing how to leverage that, because I learned so much from her.
And I thank you for that, because I've spent a lot of hours, probably too many hours to count, on, you know, figuring out what works and doesn't work. But I'm also mirroring the masters of their trade, right? So like Dickey and Cole is a favorite brand of mine. They're two of the best copywriters I've ever met my entire life. And they have an entire like write AI program that I subscribe to at their newsletter. And in the stuff, they really teach you how to set up prompts the right way to make sure that you're always going to get the output that you want. So I'm going to disagree with you in a little bit of what you said, because I do 100% think that we should all be afraid of AI, because, and I'll tell you why, don't be afraid to use it. Don't be afraid to learn it, but should you be afraid of it? 100%. And here's why, because that little bit of fear and that little bit of doubt that you have means that you're going to, if you have any little bit of fear or doubt about it, it means that you're going to learn how to use it the right way.
Fair enough.
It means that consciously in the back of your mind, you're going, okay, I don't want the machines and the robots to take over my life. I still want to be in control of the AI that I'm using. So I don't want anybody to fully 100% give up their fear, because you know what? It is super scary. Not going to lie. When we were tossing around that video, Anthony, and I think you got it, but I can't 100% remember if you got sent this video or not. It was on LinkedIn, and it was one of Darren's? One of Darren or Nat's friends from, you know, way back when it doesn't matter. He runs this robotics, AI robot company. And he sent out a video of the robot in the kitchen emptying the dishwasher. I'm sorry, that is freaky. I don't want to walk into my kitchen and see a robot emptying my dishwasher. Like, there are certain things. So, you know, is the world going that way? Maybe. Should we be afraid of it? Abso-freaking-lutely, right? Like, I feel like you have to have this little bit of fear still, because that's going to help you be able to control what you do with it, right? What you
right.
do with the AI. And so that's where I think we should go with this conversation.
I agree 100%.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I mean, to your point, right? I mean, one of my examples would be, you know, getting DMs or emails from people reaching out. I mean, I would just say that there is so much AI that's out there. I mean, look, you know the story about like how someone over the summer complimented me that said that I went to grad school with them, and they were like, "Oh wow, you have such a nice smile." And I was like, "Oh my God, thank you so much. That's great. You know, I really appreciate that." And it was totally AI. So here I am, like getting, you know, complimented and getting flattered by somebody by AI, right? Yeah. What's wrong with me, right? But anyway, the point is that you don't know who or what is reaching out.
Yeah, you don't know what's on the other side of the conversation that you're having.
Yeah, I mean, I had somebody.
AI or freaking my boys with their video games. Think about how we tell our children when our children are online and they're gaming, okay?
And that's terrifying.
Right. You teach them not to give your personal information. Like, don't give your address out to some stranger that you've met. You know, we don't know if they're actually a 15-year-old boy from Texas. You don't have a clue who these people are. You don't know. Well, the same thing goes with AI. Be fearful of it. Be fearful, be afraid, but don't let that stop you from learning how to use it correctly. Like how to create new business ideas, how to use it to create your SOPs, how to like launch new plans for your products and your services. There are ways to do this where you work it into, like you weave it into the business. It's like, right? Like for anybody who can't see me on video, I'm like weaving my fingers together. You weave this stuff into what the business that you already have, right? So don't completely just...
But I agree with you too, that there is a, and I guess my point is that, you know, from a society standpoint, you know, there has to be that skepticism that's out there, you know, not that you were ever taking, not that we were ever taking things at face value, but especially today. And I'm a very trustworthy person, right? Sometimes I get, you know, that kind of backfires in some cases, but especially now with AI, you know, here I am getting complimented by, you know, a robot, but you know, you have to really be skeptical about things, not to the point that you're a pessimist, but you know, just being careful. And I think that's, or mindful about certain things. And that's not only something that we as adults have to do, but you're right. I mean, our children as well, you know, I mean, that's a whole other, I mean, that's a whole, I have a 15-year-old and a 13-year-old, right? And girls. And, you know, that is, that's pretty terrifying to me too. You know, in a lot of ways, but you know, that's a whole other conversation. But, you know, to your point, right, there is a way with AI that is absolutely amplifying us. And it's an amplifier.
It's the psychology of controlling the situation, right? Like when you think about, okay, so first of all, becoming an entrepreneur is terrifying. Mm-hmm. Quitting your 9-to-5 job is terrifying. But did you do it? Of course you did. Did we all do it? Yes. You know, some maybe in different ways, like maybe it wasn't a choice for some of us. We were laid off and then kind of stumbled into this thing. There are different stories, right? Like I just didn't go back. And there are different stories. There are stories of the people who consciously left their 9-to-5, right? That, all of that is terrifying. And I bet some of you who are out there listening to this right now, you're in that terrifying situation of AI just took your job, quote, end quote, and now you're laid off. And so now you're terrified because you're either looking for new work or deciding you're going to do this entrepreneurship thing. This screen thing moving around is going to drive me batty.
I can't wait for Megan to throw her monitor right now.
Because I'm like, for anybody who doesn't understand or has not seen me on video, I'm a hand talker. And right now my iPhone is recording and doing all sorts of weird things every time I move the back. Anyway, whatever. So I'm going to sit on my hands, except for when I want coffee.
No.
Anyway, see, okay, so distraction, whatever. Getting back on track. So for all of you that have already taken the leap, whatever, have already taken the leap for entrepreneurship, starting a business, or a side hustle, right? Like maybe you're still in your 9-to-5 and you're doing the side hustle thing. I encourage you to use the psychology of controlling the situation you're in, right? Your mindset, your mind controls the situation that you're in. No one can control how you react to a situation except for yourself.
Yeah,
and that's totally like fluffy mindset crap that we don't usually go into it. But when you think about it, the only person who can control how you react to a situation is you. Nobody else has control over your brain. Nobody else. When I hear people say, well, I'm in a bad mood because you did this. Sorry, it doesn't actually work that way.
You let it happen.
You are choosing to react to whatever I just said or whatever I just did in a negative way. So right now, for everybody, I want you to just kind of take a breath, take a pause, and listen to what I just said. You are choosing to react to AI in a negative, fearful way. Okay? You're choosing to be afraid of it. You're choosing to make it the enemy. You're choosing to blame it for you losing your job. Now, did you have the opportunity at any point in the last 5 years when all of this stuff started blowing up, go use the internet and learn about AI and figure out how you could use it in the workplace right now and go to your boss and say, hey, listen, you know this new AI thing that everybody's talking about? Here's how I think we could adapt it into our department, and here's what I think it can do to help our team.
And hey, Megan, you bring up a great point right there, right? Because there are two ways that can go. That can go in a positive way and say, wow, okay, so you actually do know how to do that. Or in the same respect, they're so fearful and they don't really know because they're in, you know, they can be in a big company and they don't have the policies in place and they're bosses or leadership and things like that might even be afraid of AI. So now the culture within that company is, you know, fearful of it and really not supporting everyone to really do that. So, you know, so your perception is, you know, I think what we're saying is that, you know, your perception is based on not what people, not in terms of what your reality might be in terms of your day job and everything. But really just take a step back, see what's kind of happening. You know, peek your head out a little bit and say, whoa, this is crazy. This person's doing that. That person's doing that. I mean, I'll give you an example. I mean, I left my job because of my health. I have multiple sclerosis. I could not do what I was doing 5 days a week, going to the office, working in a high stress sales environment. So I created my own career. And one of the things when I did that, I didn't really know much about AI. Megan and I met when I was kind of like a quarter of the way in the, you know, on my journey and everything like that. So I didn't have any of these tools that were at my disposal. I kind of just, you know, did it. And, you know, then all of a sudden I started to realize that, oh my goodness, there's amazing technology that's out there. I can actually compete at a higher level. And I think for everyone looking at what, you know, where you want to be and what you want to do, and then seeing what AI can actually do for you and reading about what other people are doing with it. Like Megan, yeah. I mean, Megan being inspired by some, you know, people within AI. Why are you close now?
I just auto-frame.
Oh my, sorry. Megan just got really close. I mean, which is great. I don't mind that, but it was just strange.
Stupid zoomy effect go away. I'm so sorry. Oh, no.
So anyway, the point is that just, you know, keep an open mind to it. And yeah, there are, you know, maybe in the short term, you might lose your job. I'm not saying you will, and I do not want to scare you or anything like that. But if you do, maybe that is a way for you to actually say, oh my goodness, great. Now I can see the full potential of what it is that I can actually do. And boom, next thing you know, it's like, oh, I wanted to be a writer, or I wanted to, you know, do all these wonderful things, and I couldn't do it before, but now AI is in really enabling me to, you know, compete on the high level like that. Right.
So right now, and obviously we cannot guarantee any of this. See, this is just,
sorry. I thought when you said you're so huge, I thought you were talking about your head in the video. Sorry. Oh, there you are.
I don't know. It's doing weird things. Anyway, AI is the thing that can make or break a lot of people's careers right now. It really can. And I obviously cannot guarantee you this. We cannot guarantee you. We are not lawyers or business coaches. Well, coaches in a different manner of speaking. But we can't guarantee you results because you have to put the work in. But what I can tell you is AI is so hot right now that all of the big companies, whether you're in manufacturing, e-commerce, tech, it doesn't really matter. All of these huge companies are running around like chickens with their heads cut off, trying to figure out this AI thing. So if you go to your boss right now and you figure it out, even if you just figure out one simple thing that's going to make their lives easier and you can show it to them and show the time savings and show the cost savings and show, like, put the actual numbers around it. Now, I'm not talking about coming up with some hypothetical idea, walking into your boss's office so he looks at you like you're insane. I'm talking about actually taking the time, more than 5 minutes, and to, you know, to really evaluate whatever you're doing, whatever it is you're doing in your job right now, and then going out and figuring out how AI can help your job, you, nobody else. Don't worry about anybody else because they're all out for themselves too. People are selfish. Sorry, hate to tell you that, but it's the way of the world, unfortunately. Figure out how it can help you in your job today, right now, and then expand it out.
I wouldn't even bring it down to a human level. Right. I know it's kind of weird to say human and AI in the same sentence, but, you know, and, you know, I'm really going to bring it back to Megan because Megan speaks so well. You have you name your GPT, right? What's the name of your GPT again?
Which, Nixie?
Oh, yeah. Nixie. Right. Okay. So here she, you
I
have
thought it was going to be weird if I named it Roxy, because then how am I supposed to yell at the dog?
Right. That's what I got a little confused. I'm like, wait, is it Roxy? Or anyway, Roxy is the name of her dog. No. But the point is that when you learn how to speak about it and think about it, right, the foundation of any relationship is communication. Okay. And that includes AI. That includes machine learning. And the way you talk to AI to do a certain task, so that one task that Megan is talking about really comes down to how you're talking to AI, whether you're typing, whether you're speaking to it, or, you know, however it is that you're communicating with it. That's really what it comes down to. So I would say I'm going to give advice, but you tell me if I'm right. The first thing that somebody needs to do, because I've been working on it since obviously being entrenched with it, with you and the team and everything like that, is speaking with AI, learning how to actually speak, even with something very simple. Would you agree with that, Megan?
I 100% agree with that. And I'm going to tell you all something right now. Communication and words are the most important part of everything you do in life. Everything. Think about it. How you communicate with your kids, how you communicate with your spouse or your significant other, how you communicate with your dog, how you communicate with tone of voice, communications, the words you use, how you speak, how you type, how you write. It all affects how the other person reacts to you. It all affects how the outcome of whatever you're trying to do. So AI has just taken that in heightened that. Because if you do not, there's a difference between what I was looking up when the thing started going janky, there's a difference between how you prompt things, and we can give you some examples.
Yeah, I was going to say, can you give an example, Megan? I love your examples.
So like all of the people that are out there that are complaining that AI sucks and that you can tell it's AI and it's really, really bad and like all the writing is awful. Well, I'm going to give you a side-by-side example. You open up GPT or Claude or whatever you're going to use, and you say to it, I want you to help me find my niche. I want to start an online business. Or I want to start an online business doing XYZ. Give me 100 ideas. That's a shitty prompt. That is a shitty prompt. You're going to get basic generic ideas that you could go Google yourself. And it's almost like you wasted the GPT's time, because that is a shitty prompt. You're going to get decent information, but you're not going to get any more information than you would if you went and did a Google search and just grabbed the top 10. Like, what's the, or if you, even if you say to ChatGPT, what's the 10 best ways to make money online today?
Well, Megan, I want to ask you something real
prompt.
I want to ask you something real quick. Are you, so this example, and I know that work, you know, it's going to be kind of complicated, but still, is it somebody that is using it for the first time, or maybe somebody that's been using it for a couple of months? Because, and the reason why I ask this is because it gets to know you. And, you know, it's even if it does know you and you're not asking it the right direction.
If you turn that on.
I mean, that's amazing.
Hang on. It gets to know you if you turn that on. In the settings, and these are the things that people don't realize. When you go into the settings of your GPT, you can actually have it turn on. There's a toggle that will allow you to turn on or turn off the history. Meaning, is it going to go back through your history? And then here's the other thing. GPT learns when it learns, but it doesn't learn. It does search history if you ask it to, but it can't. There are still things it can't do. Like, it's going to search your past conversations, but it can't pull in content from your past conversations. So if you have conversations where you're uploading images and PDFs and stuff like that, it's not going to bring all that stuff over to the new chat. You have to physically move it over. And it also can't pick up conversations. Like, if you start one ChatGPT and then you open a second ChatGPT and you want to reference the first ChatGPT, you can't. So one of the things you can do, though, is if you're in a ChatGPT, like, and you're in a conversation with it, is you can, like, start another conversation from that and expand on it. But there still are things that you cannot do, right? So it's learning from you if you tell it to learn from you. So
these are
the things that people don't realize. They assume that it's just automatically built in. And it is, to a certain extent. But until you actually take the time to learn those nuances, you're never going to know that. So, yes, it will learn you. It will learn your tone of voice. But there's also reasons why you create prompts like this. Like, let's just go off of your tone of voice, right? If you want it to learn. So the difference between a good prompt and a bad prompt, right? Let's just go back to that. So the finding your niche thing. If you want to, let's pick an industry, Anthony, pick an industry. Just pick something. I don't care.
Technology. Well, maybe not. Sales consulting.
So Anthony is a sales consultant, right? So like if you said to ChatGPT, I'm a sales consultant and I want to start my own business. What's the best way for me to make money online? That is a shitty prompt. Shitty prompt. You're going to get really generic information. But if you, and I'm going to read this, if you drop into GPT, and this is really, really long, so you'll get the point. I want you to help me introspect to find my niche that I can write content around and build my offer on. For context, I'm looking for a niche where the niche is so narrowly defined that I'm in the top 1% in it. For example, personal branding growth is a broad niche, that's highly contested and where I'm probably not in the top 1%. But founder branding for medtech startups in India is a much more specific niche. The niche has such a unique framing that my social content around it would stand out because of its specificity. 3, the niche speaks to a wealthy audience I can monetize through an offer. For example, you may uncover that I'm young and that I don't have much experience, but I'm world class at is probably something that younger people desire, but that also means it's not a niche I can make a lot of money in, because adolescents tend to be poor. Then I want you to instead help me reframe my skills so that I'm speaking to a wealthy audience. 4, the niche needs to have at least three levels of specificity, ideally 4 to 5. The levels of specificity are for who, how you do it, what you do, why you do it, where you do it, or what outcome you want to unlock. For example, the niche statement, I ghostwrite LinkedIn posts for fintech entrepreneurs, has only 2 levels of specificity for who and what. Whereas I ghostwrite LinkedIn posts for fintech founders from three minimum weekly voice notes so they can raise their next capital round has 4 levels, who, what, how, and outcome. Your mission is to ask me thoughtful questions to illuminate niches that meet these 4 criteria until I provide an answer that sounds like a viable course idea. Here's what we'll do. Course idea, offer idea. Now, obviously, you change this based on what you're looking for. Here's what we'll do. You will ask me 3 questions that help you understand what things I'm good at doing. Number 2, you will ask me a follow-up question to narrow down what specifically I'm good at. And then it gives you another example. And then you go into, you will also ask me 3 questions to understand what I enjoy doing about this niche or topic. Then you will suggest 10 different niche definitions for me. Now here's where it gets really good. So as you can you tell the difference yet? Like your one statement versus like 3 pages, but I promise you. And so everyone, and I know what everyone's thinking. Well, geez, and that I could have just written it myself. I could have just figured it out myself if I'm going to write a prompt that long. Bullshit. Because now you have this and you can do this. You now have this prompt. Once you write a really good prompt like this, you can now take this and use it over and over and over and over again for multiple different things, multiple different people. You can, I mean, it's not like it is a set it and forget it. This is where people get caught up when they hear and see prompts like this. When I show them this, their first reaction is, well, why would I spend all that time writing a prompt like that and then never using it again? And my first reaction is, well, why would you not use it again?
Yeah, why would you only use it once?
What if you wanted to find a niche within a niche? Meaning you found your niche, you know what you want to offer, but then you would like to turn that offer into 3 other offers.
So I guess the question, Megan, is...
And you could niche down again.
Where did you get that prompt? Like, did you write that yourself? Or like...
I didn't write that prompt. That's a Dickey and Cole prompt, for sure. So like, write with AI is amazing. So those are the type of prompts that you'll get from those guys. When you go out and you study the masters, you're going to get master level prompts. Now, the prompts that I do write are that long now, but that's because I took the time to learn from them how to write a prompt. So a good prompt, and I just need to look it up just to make sure I don't say the wrong things. I can tell you every single good prompt has 4 main pieces, okay? It has, where was that? Hang on a second. I'm pulling it up. I thought I had it pulled up, but of course.
And you, while you're pulling up.
Okay, here we go. Context, command, format. And multiple different creators call them different things, right? Like, but this is like, if you know who Dan Martell is, if you know who Dickey and Cole are, if you know who Ali Boyd is, if you know who Cody Sanchez is, like all of these big people that I'm talking about, these are the 4 things that they do with their prompts. Okay. So this is what I studied and this is what I learned. You have your role, which is you need to tell GPT exactly who it's going to be. You are a communication analyst who specializes in identifying writing styles and tone. So the first thing you need to do is give GPT the role that it's playing. You are a sales financial analyst and you are da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You specialize in. You write the role. You tell GPT who it needs to be and who it needs to function as. And then the context. So here's another example. I'm going to give you 3 to 5 examples of my writing, emails, messages, documents. These represent how I naturally communicate. I want to use AI to help me write, but I need it to match my voice, not sound like generic AI. So that's the context, right? So we've got the role. He's the communication analyst. The context is I'm going to give it a bunch of my writing. I want it to match my voice, not sound like generic, and give me representation of how I naturally write. The command. The command then for this one was analyze these writing samples and create a detailed description of my writing style that includes tone, sentence structure, word choice, personality, you know. So you give it the command, like, this is what I expect you to do. And then the format, okay? The format is your, so for this one, I wrote, write this as a detailed outline with headings that I can use to instruct another AI on how to write like me. So this was, I was actually using a prompt to build a custom AI, to custom GPT agent, so that now I will always, always be able to go back in and use this agent. Now there are multiple steps after this, but you guys can get where I'm coming from, right? So after you give it the format and you add in all of your samples, you can even follow up after that with a goal, right? But that's really what the context is. I usually do role, depending on the prompt that I'm creating, role, context, command, the format, and then I'll usually give it a goal, right? So like for this goal, that was already in the command. But sometimes you need a goal at the end. Like your goal is to, especially if you're creating a GPT that you're using over and over again, right? Like, so this writing GPT, I actually have it in practice. We use it every day. It writes emails. It writes newsletters. It writes sales copy. It writes everything for Digital Magic. Now, we do not copy and paste just what it spits out.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So this is where now with this new prompt, with this new analysis that I did and this new prompt that we created, we are creating copy that's 98% done every single time. That's what a good prompt can do. And so for those of you that are afraid, awesome. I want you to be afraid because I want you to understand that it is still a machine and it is very scary that the machine can do what it can do, but you are still in control. You control the output based on your prompt, based on what you're asking it to do. You still control what it's giving back to you.
Yeah, and not only that.
When that changes, I will be the first person to come on here and go, okay, you should now all run for your lives.
Yeah, and you know, well, it'll be too late at that point, but you know, yeah.
Bunker, and you guys.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. Yeah, but the reality, and Megan brings up a great point. I mean, first of all, it was amazing. It was a masterclass, people, that in prompting and everything. I mean, my goodness. I mean, that's amazing. But you know, the point is that 98% done. That 2% requires the human element, and that 2% can still take a while to get that to, you know, copy ready to, you know, the public or whomever it is that you want to get it to. And, you know, don't underestimate that. That's still a very big, you know, there are two big steps here, right? I mean, the prompting is obviously a huge step, but then of course, you know, once that's done, you don't say, oh, great, boom, I'm going to move on. No, you don't. You take that and you constantly massage it and you constantly get it to the point. So do you think that it basically, you know, has put the jobs out for, like, has taken the jobs away from writers, from content creators? No, it's made their jobs better. And it's still, they're still adding their pizzazz to it and their expertise, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So that 2% is the you aspect, right? That 2% is you. It's 100% you. So I'm not going to lie. We have a small team. I have a ghostwriter. But here's why ghostwriting works for me. I've done this work. I've created these GPTs. I have created, before this, this is no different than what I would do is I put together this massive brand deck. What I say, what I don't say, here's how I sound, here's how, like, of all of this stuff. And hello, for anybody who's been around for in the tech world, just in the business world, where were you guys 10 years ago before this stuff started blowing up? You're telling me that you weren't using transcription? Bullshit. Transcription summaries have been around for, what, 15 years or more?
More,
yeah. You've been able to transcribe and get a summary from Zoom forever. You've been able to transcribe and get a summary from a meeting forever. That's AI. So all of these things where people are like so scared of it and like all this stuff's happening, this stuff has been around and you've been using it secretly. Like, did you just not know it? Or, yeah. I mean, because it hasn't been like hitting you on the head. Now, granted, the element of ChatGPT and Google Gemini and Claude and all of these things have put it to the forefront, right? They have made it more accessible for, but this stuff has been around for a very long time.
So yeah, I think
that are just now kind of experiencing this overwhelming anxiety of, oh my God, this is going to take over. It already has started taking over years and years and years and years ago. And it's not taking over because you still, again, you still have the psychology to control the outcome. And to Anthony's point, and maybe we'll just end there because that's kind of a morbid thought. If the robots end up taking over, you know, it's too late at that point. You're going to need a bunker and maybe some Y2K food.
And that's still exactly why I always say please and thank you to everything I say to chat, because you never know when they do take over. I want them to actually say, you know what? This guy actually did say thanks for only to cut his arms off instead of everything else. Or
the funny thing is it's so funny because everyone, and I will say probably everyone, because even Anthony, when he first learned how I use GPT and talk to it and stuff like that, he used to laugh at me because I say please and thank you. I don't ever yell at it. I don't ever argue with it. If any of you are parents out there or even just dog parents, what happens when you yell at your kids when they do something that you don't like? What do?
Ignore you.
Flip you off, leave the room. Like, I mean, what actually happens? Do you actually get anything productive or useful out of them?
Well, I admit sometimes I yell at Alexa. Okay, I'm sorry. I mean,
we're parents. Of course, sometimes we yell. But what
Alexa, meaning the AI, not a person. And I have a daughter named Alexa. Okay.
If you get frustrated with the output that it's giving you and you get frustrated with the AI, again, machine, robot thing that you're trying to prompt, if you're frustrated with it, take a deep breath, get up and walk away from your computer, your phone, whatever, put your phone down, take 5 minutes, take a deep breath, go away and come back. And then what I want you to do is scroll back, look at what you gave it to work with. What was the prompt that you gave it? What was the instructions that you gave it? I want you to read them out loud to yourself. And I'm telling you right now, 95% of the time, you're going to be like, oh, well, that was crap. No wonder it didn't do what I wanted.
And again, communication is the foundation of every relationship.
Communication. So when you get pissed off and frustrated at GPT or Claude or Perplexity or whoever, whatever AI you are working with, and you decide that you're going to yell at it or go, OMG, exclamation point, why are you not listening to me? It's literally on the other end, rolling its eyes at you and flipping you the bird. Like, it doesn't give a shit. It is a machine. It's doing exactly what you told it to do. So, just like at the top of the hour, you put crap in, you get crap out. I could soapbox about this stuff forever. Ever and ever.
It's rolling its red eyes. Like the Terminator.
I have a feeling that GPT rolls its eyes at me a lot.
I think Nixie really, really loves you. I do.
Nixie. Nixie, by the way, for anyone that cares, is my unicorn. And she, yes, I have a unicorn robot, and we talk to her a lot.
I'm learning a lot about Megan right now. Yeah, I think that really
explains. Nixie therapy, too. I have Nixie therapy, the Nixie therapist. And so what's...
Hi, Megan, maybe we should end this now.
I have created a therapy unicorn that I talk to for anyone. I'll let you guys unpack. And, you know, on that note, I think that's where we'll end the crazy for today, because you guys can laugh at that. And it's true. I have Nixie, the unicorn therapist, and we have conversations about all the things that are annoying me in my life, and she tells me to shut up and tells me to be quiet and tells me to chill out. And
but here's the thing, right?
I'm a very good therapist.
In the beginning of this conversation, right, it's all about AI, being scared of it, and yes, we all should be afraid of AI and everything, but you know, with not only these are not only tips, these are lifestyles. This is the way to thrive with AI. This is the way to use AI to really team up with AI and to amplify yourself. And it's just truly amazing, because anything is possible, people. And, you know, I think what Megan has just talked about, and so grateful for, you know, just what you shared with everyone. I mean, it's just, I think people we all get scared of things that we just don't know anything about. And hopefully we all know a little bit more about it.
Yep, 100%. And if you guys want to learn more, you really should consider BrandBuilt and DMC. I don't want to turn this into a sales pitch, but we are fully aware of what is needed to help brands and help entrepreneurs grow with AI, systems, processes, tools, AI, automation, all the things. And it sounds like, you know, a bunch of hoo-ha, but I'm telling you, it's...
I don't know where I'd be if I didn't have that.
It's something that is going to make and break everyone. And you should at least at a fundamental level take the time to learn. And we would love to teach you. So on that note, everybody, remember, tech, operations, systems, AI, neurodiverse brains. They're all only good when they work. And hopefully we help you make them work a little bit better every week or every other week. Bye, everybody. See you in 2 weeks.
Bye, Nixie.
Bye, Nixie.